Hello, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode 58. And as always, I have here with me Artur Sosins from Latvia. Hello, Artur. How are you doing?
Hello. Actually doing fine. It's finally starting to get warmer here. Probably not as warm as you in your place, but it's okay.
Yeah, over here it's still not cold enough to call it cold, but I think here is never really, really cold. Anyway, you are here to talk about PHP, and this episode is special because we have the pleasure to be sponsored by IPChat. IPChat is a team communication tool by Atlassian. And well, basically, IPChat combines every communication method you ever need, like instant messaging, group chat, screen sharing, file sharing, link sharing, video, voice calling, into a single solution. So it allows you to work remotely, working across time zones, and working with the person right next to you, if it becomes simpler and more efficient. So you can start using IPChat right now. The basic plan, it's free. And if you are interested, you can go to hipchat.com/phpclasses to start taking advantage of this great tool. And there is also an article about the IPChat in the PHP Classes blog that I'll mention it in the show notes. So now starting actually talking about more specific events, things about that have been happening in PHP world. Let's start about the latest releases. Let me share the screen here. Okay, first we will talk about the latest updates of PHP 5.4, 39 in this case, which, as in the previous months, it is just fixes our security issues. And then there was also PHP 5.5. Let me scroll it here. Sorry, 5.5.23, which apart from any security fixes, it also has some feature fixes, and the same for PHP 5.6.7. And I don't think there is really much to comment about these things. It's just the usual recommendation, just go there and see if it is something that affects your applications, and if so, you should consider to upgrade as soon as possible, so you are not affected by the issues that were fixed here. So now moving on, let's start talking about the usual set of proposals that have been going on for PHP 7 and see what is being planned, what is being proposed. I'm going to start precisely by this proposal that refers to a common complaint about people that often want to campaign against PHP, and also PHP developers that do not like the fact that the function names of PHP are not very consistent. Sometimes the words in the names are not separated by any character. Sometimes they are separated by underscores. And this proposal is precisely to address this issue. Basically, the proposal is to have functions with the naming style everywhere. All names should be separated by underscores, and also I have the old names that were not consistent with this coding standard to also be available as areas of the same functions. Well, I think this is good, probably to stop some complaints. I don't know, what do you think, Arthurs? Is this a really important improvement, or maybe not so much?
Oh, at first, my first thought was that, okay, do we really need it? Will it change much? We all know PHP, we all know how it works, we all know most of the function names, so why would it need it? But actually, reading the proposal, the author has prepared lots of interesting paragraphs in many cases for what he anticipated could be like objected to him, and in the end he kind of convinced me, yeah, we could do it. If he is going to do all the job, and it really seems that he cares about it, so why not? If we are still can use old code, old function names, and new developers could learn the new function names, we also might convert sometime. I don't think it hurts anyone, so why not?
Yeah, well, at least new code that use the new function naming, it will not be backwards compatible, but probably the people that are concerned with this are not do not care making their code compatible with past PHP versions. In the proposal, you may see a long list of functions that need to be alias to have consistent function naming, and the list is really long, so it will be a lot of work, but okay, most of the work of finding these functions is already
done by the author.
Yeah, so so that's it. So now moving on to another proposal. Actually, this is a proposal that is already approved because it was voted already. And let's share the screen here. Basically, it's a proposal that will allow that exceptions that happen in the PHP engine, I mean, errors that happen in PHP engine that previously would trigger fatal errors and would call the error handler, now they would be turned into exceptions. So you would be able to catch those exceptions and eventually do something probably cleaner, because you can catch the exception near where the error happens, rather than having a global error handler that would be had to be able to catch all types of errors. So I think this is a good feature. What do you think, Arthur?
I have nothing against exceptions, and it is always better to, if you are not sure about some cases, you could process handled exceptions better rather than it crashes and produces an error. I don't know if in PHP it matters much, as probably you redirect all the error output to some logs or something like that, and then the user won't see anything at all, but it gives more control over it. That's definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and there is also the problem that when you have a fatal error, probably the only hack way you can intercept it would use a register shutdown function and still you would not have much of the context of the error, and
yeah,
just the file and the line and not where that code was called. So I think this is good, and this also ties to another thing that we're going to comment ahead. But first, we are going to comment about another proposal. So this proposal is about having an anonymous classes. Actually, this proposal is not new, but it came back and it was voted and it was approved. Basically, it will allow to have just creating a class that probably the intention is just to use it just to one object of that class, like creating a subclass that just overrides one function or another. And the idea here is to be able to create classes without having to declare their names and such. So the proposal is here. I think this can be useful in some cases. I'm not sure if it will be useful for many people, but I think it will be useful for some at least.
Well, it's definitely something new. I can't say I have seen something like that in other languages. At least I'm now thinking and can't remember any example. But it would definitely be useful in a couple of cases. Like one, for example, of course, would be a testing to generate some step classes. Specifically for the tests under the runtime would be great. Others would be create objects that represent some information in the database, like ORM or something like that, and you could dynamically like create them. You don't need a specific class to define it or something like that. That will also be used.
Yeah. Yes, and this seems to be a proposal that was mostly consensual because most people voted in favor of it. Now, moving on to another issue is about also the proposal of having scalar type inting was finally approved. Actually, it was not one proposal, there were many proposals, and finally there was one that was approved. And there is this article written by José Luis Lazo from Spain that written an article on the PHP classes blog, and it tells about what is a scalar type inting for those that are not aware. Basically, a way to tell that function parameters and return real values can be of scalar types. The scalar types are like integers, floating points, strings, and booleans. And so far, PHP had type inting for objects and arrays, but not for scalar types. So there was finally a proposal, because there's a great discussion about this. We've been talking a bit about it before, and the idea, I think the greatest issue was regarding about strict typing. Some people just wanted strict typing, others wanted a more weak typing. That would allow some kind of type promotion rather than throwing a more stricter error. So since this is a very important feature that was being proposed, I think it was great for the community in general. What do you think, Arthur?
Well, I think it actually is great for PHP classes authors who submit classes, because previously when you create some kind of library that other developers would use, you would need to anticipate every value that they would provide to your function, like user provide string or integer, and you would need to anticipate all the cases and handle it themselves. In this case, you would just define that this function accepts this type, and it would be on the developers and who will use this library to provide a specific type.
Yeah. And it will also be a cleaner way for instance, IDEs that are able to scan the code and determine the right types of the functions that are expected. And previously, they would use PHP doc and parse the definitions there. And not that PHP doc will be become obsolete. It's just not everybody wants to use a PHP doc and at least with this syntax to declare the types that are expected. It will be a different, more cleaner way to extract the types that are expected here. So I think it was it was a great proposal that was voted. Congratulations to the authors, Andrea Falls originally, and the final version by Anthony Ferrara that created the final proposal that it was accepted by the majority of the voters. Now, moving on to another topic that is actually related, which is another article by José Luis Lasso. Let me share the screen here. And this is just a follow-up article on which it talks about how scalar type inting helps you writing better tests, because now you can declare the types there, and with the type declarations there, you don't have to, for instance, check the actual types in your testing code. With the type declarations, it will throw exceptions, and your test suite will catch those exceptions and detect a test that failed. Previously, you would probably have to write some code to check if the actual type is really of what the type it was expected. And still, that would only apply to parameters, not return values of functions. So that's basically what this article is talking about. So now, moving on with another topic, which is just to mention that now PHP 7 enter what is called the feature freeze period. Basically, according to the timeline that was proposed last year, starting March 16th until June 15, there will be a period just to finalize the implementation of features and tests for those features. So no new features will be accepted for PHP 7.0. There can be feature proposals for future versions, PHP 7.1, 7.2, but now practically the feature set for PHP 7 is well defined, and no more feature will be implemented.
At least according to this timeline, there is no official statement, I think.
Yeah, well, there are always some proposals that were being voted. I don't know. I think some of them were already voted after this deadline, March 16th. But that's okay. This is not meant to be rigorous. Okay, so moving on now to another topic, which is about an article that I felt I need to write because lately I've been through a lot of work, not very pleasant work, basically maintenance work, just to keep sites working with changes that were somehow, some of them were planned with some time, others not so much. But I thought I should talk about this because probably not every developer is aware that they need to perform maintenance tasks either in their code or in their site structure to actually keep them working well. Well, one of the things is if you have a site that is for mobile devices, it should render well according to Google, so it keeps ranking well on Google. If you do not do this until April 21, it may happen that the pages that are not very well adapted for mobile users, they lose rankings in favor of other pages of other sites that are ranking better.
But will they lose ranking of mobile users or of all users, also including desktop?
No, this only affect the rankings for mobile users. So
okay.
It will affect users that are using desktop computers or even tablets. This is just made for devices with small screens, mobile phones, and so on. Actually, I mentioned it here, but there is also an article here by Pedro Diaz, which is a former Google employee that is specialist on search engine optimization. He has written a nice article. There is a version in English and then in Portuguese. So in this article, you'll find links to those articles. I also mentioned an article that I have written before. We commented here in the past episode about the things that you can do to adapt your websites to mobile devices with a list of the efforts, because if you want to do a full job, it probably will take you a long time, but you can give priority to certain things and achieve results faster. And well, if you are not aware about this article, just go and read it and you will know about it. Another thing that is being deprecated is the Google Webmaster Tools API. This probably is not an API that many people are using or know about it. It is an API that Google has been using what they call the client login, which is a method of authentication that requires a username and password. And since Google is deprecating that, all APIs of Google that use client login will stop working after April 20. And in this article, I'll tell you a bit more how I am using this API. Actually, I have a published a class that uses that API. We don't have much time to actually explain it here. What you need to know is that if you are using this API, you need to take care, because after April 20, at least parts of the API will stop working. Now, another thing related with Google is the Google Shortener. I don't know, maybe it was a mistake that I did, but it stopped working for me like last month. and I was not aware of what was going on. I just saw lots of errors because I used this shortener to put links in Twitter posts, and it was giving like this error here. And it was a bit odd because I didn't know what was about. And it seems that for some reason now they require a parameter in the URL of the API call that at least in the past they did not require. And this is a bit odd. So I realized what was not right. I'm not sure if it was Google that broke the API or just me that misinterpreted it. So if your use of a Google shortener stopped working, probably for the same reason, now you know what you can do about it. Another topic also related with Chrome, actually a Google product, starting Chrome 41, if you are using SSL certificates that use SHA-1 signatures, the Google starts considering them insecure. So they your sites may appear like this. I realized this because I got a notification from GoDaddy because I bought a certificate from them, and they said that I need to upgrade, and I did not do it yet, but I will have to do it soon because it's not good to have warnings saying that a site that is secure is not secure. And that is something that probably many sites that use SSL need to do, which is to upgrade their certificates. Upgrading does not cost anything because you'll get the same certificate just with a different signature. And finally, one last topic related with Facebook. Facebook is changing their APIs, is forcing everybody to start using at least version 2.0 of the Graph API. So if you are using the old version, starting the April 30, it will automatically use the version 2. If you are not specifying any version in the first function calls. And this is probably not a big deal. What may be a big deal is that you, depending on the permissions that you your application needs, if you have a site or a mobile application that integrates with Facebook, depending on the permissions that you need, you may need to go through a review process. And this review process there will be a human reviewer that will reproduce the steps that you are using to use your API. I mean, the Facebook API, and you'll verify if you comply. I have gone through a painful process with this review. I finally passed it. You also had to go through the review, right?
Yeah.
So did you, was it regarding also the publishing posts?
No, it was more game related, inviting users and stuff. And yeah, it was really a ping pong, submitting, and then they reject, and you would need to point really specifically to specific button in the game and the dialogue, how you do it, or else they just miss it and say, oh, your application does need that permission and reject it or something like that. So it was a really painful process.
Yeah, this actually depends, I don't know, either I'm too stupid or
they sometimes do not really read all these instructions that we give.
Yeah, exactly. It seems so to me also.
So because in my case, it is a bit odd because they wanted to verify the Facebook login process in the case of PHP classes, it does not use the Facebook login to authenticate users. That is done on a separate site. And what was happening is that they were trying with a test user that would not work in that separate site, which is the IconTem account. And I had to explain them, I have to create a test user just for them to log in. And finally they got it. And but I have to post lots of screenshots and lots of arrows, click here, go there. And this was really painful. I still only have done it for PHP classes. Now I have to do it again for JS classes. So it was not really fun. I thought it would be an impossible mission because it seems that we cannot communicate with the reviewer. You just submit the process and that's it. Well, but okay. Well, anyway, this is just some of the pains of the sometimes we have to go through. It's certainly not what we want to do. We rather build things than have to fix other things that probably are not broken. I don't know, Artus, did you have to go through any other painful maintenance process recently other than these that I mentioned?
I don't think so. Nothing else.
Yeah. But it's funny that it seems that all these maintenances had to be done precisely at the same time of the year, and as if we do not have already a lot of work to do for now. Anyway, moving on. Let me just comment about a few articles that were posted in PHP Classes blog. There is one by, again, José Luis Lazo. This is an article about how he managed to deal with large amount of information to show, to filter from a MongoDB database application, where he use Symfony listeners to actually do the filtering. If I got this right, I'm not familiar with the Symfony framework, so I hope I'm not explaining this not very clearly. Anyway, if you are into using the Symfony framework, you may want to take a look at this article. Another interesting article, this time written by Dmitry Mamontov. It is an article about creating daemons. I mean, daemons in the sense of Unix daemons, Linux daemons, like those that start servers when the machine starts boots, and then they stay there monitoring, processing information, monitoring data. And this is a very detailed article. It practically teach step by step what to do to write a daemon completely written in PHP and make it efficient using a synchronous IO, using a libevent extension, and even how to distribute it using the FAR format. It's very interesting, very, very detailed. Probably not something that most developers will do, but I think many applications need to write their own daemons, not daemons in the sense of machine level daemons like database daemons or web server daemons. But for instance, if you have, for instance, a mailing list, you probably need to send a message to a mailing list to send the message to your queue, and the daemon will look at that queue and process the message and send it to all users. That is a type of daemon that you can implement in your PHP application. You probably do not need to implement all the steps that Dimitri explains in this article, but it is quite interesting what he has written. So congratulations to him for the very detailed article. Artus, did you look into this article? What did you think?
Yeah, I remember I actually tried to do something like that, but I failed. My idea was to run a daemon which listens to a Skype. There was previously a Skype API for that could be used in PHP even, I think, and something like that. So the post like this would definitely help me, but I think the Skype API is already deprecated.
Yeah.
But idea is great.
Yeah. Well, I think most large enough applications will need to have their own daemons. So this could be an interesting article to read for people that want to write their own daemons. So moving on, we are going to now talk about the Innovation Award. We will start about the Innovation Award of JS classes. And we'll talk about the winners of January that were voted in February, and then in March the results came out. So in January, unfortunately, there was only one submission. Unfortunately, that is just what we got that month. It was actually a very interesting application called Call Me. It can establish video chat communications between the users. It was written by Anders Toth from Hungary. It was very, very interesting. And I think everybody should try it because it is very neat to see video chat working in a browser just done in pure JavaScript. And although it relies on a service called PHJS. And for this, Andres picked one book of choice, a pact. And well, even this, well, despite in January there were only one nominee, the current Innovation Award ranking already takes into account also the nominees of February. And guess who is in first place?
Really hard to guess.
Ah.
It was not intentionally.
Yeah. Arthur's is leading now the ranking with just one package, but got 3 points. And followed by Ovidio Bocca from United Kingdom with one package and 2 points. Then Jason Gerfen and Anders Toth with one package and 1 point. By countries, it's also nothing surprising because it's practically the same ranking of the nominees. Latvia is in first with one package, 3 points. Then United Kingdom, one package, 2 points. And then United States and Hungary with a package and 1 point. Well, fortunately, then March there are some more nominations, so I hope this JavaScript Innovation Award gets more interesting, so we can talk about it next month. So now we are going to move on with the Innovation Award of the PHP classes, and again we'll talk about the nominees of January there were like 9 nominees, they're voting in February, and the March results come out. So Art was, which package would you like to comment?
So let me share the screen. I don't know if green, I think that was incorrect screen. Yes, this should be it. Let me just zoom in a little. So yeah. The first package I want to comment is VS Word, which basically allows you to create, generate Microsoft Word documents from HTML. It is actually quite great because I remember previously I was looking for lots of components. Some of them were using COM components for PHP. Some of them defined XML files, and well, it was always kind of messy. And I think the PHP to generate Word documents with HTML is the best way. And this is what provided by this class, which was created by Raskin Venyamin from Russia, and he got one copy of the Zen Studio for it. And yeah, it's a great class. That's why I like it.
Yes, that's really very pragmatic because most people already have their PHP application generated in HTML. So if you can use that same HTML to generate a Word document, it's a very straightforward solution.
Exactly. Next one I would want to comment is PHP push notifications. And what it actually does, it sends cross-platform notifications to both Android and iOS devices. I once also needed to implement similar services to test them, and they have different APIs and some differences, so combining it all was a challenge, and this class does exactly that. Class was developed by Young Hyung Ryu from South Korea. And I think he didn't have a prize for it, right?
Actually, sometimes it happens. I mail the winners, well, what prize do you want? And sometimes they do not reply. I don't know, maybe the message went to his spam folder and now I didn't get a prize. Well, if he's listening to us, please contact us. You still have time to get your prize. It's not the only person that this happens. Some people happen. Sometimes it happens. It seems to happen more with people that are not very familiar with the English language. So probably they don't understand the message that is being sent. Well, anyway.
Yeah. So if you need to send notifications to Android iOS devices, you can use this class. It would be great if it also supported Windows Phone sending notifications, wink, wink. But well, we'll see.
Okay, on my behalf, I'll also like to comment about a few classes. Let me share the screen here. So the first class that I wanted to comment, this is an interesting solution for a problem. The author, in this case, Michał Kowalik from Poland, created a package that adds ints to Google API code. So Google distributes class libraries to access their APIs. But they don't have type inting comments on the code. So we process the code files and adds those type inting to make them more useful, for instance, in IDE. So this is an interesting solution for a problem that should not exist, but since it exists,
lots of type-hitting stuff lately, really. It must be a trend.
Yeah, well, it was quite a hot trend right now. And, well, anyway, Mitchell got a $1 over the copy of a PHP Ad Professional. Congratulations for his package. Another package that I wanted to comment is one simple one, which sometimes some sites would like to display, oh, today is day so and so, and several years ago it was the day of something, a birthday, somebody died, somebody, there was a battle or something like that. And this class called the PHP What Happened Today by Amir Hendi from Egypt can extract that information from a CSV file that you can update with whatever are the relevant events that you want to show. So it can extract the events that happened today in other days, in other years, I mean. So this is a very interesting package. Now we are just going to see how are the rankings for the Innovation Award of 2015, since PHP Classes has much more contributions, the competition is getting hotter. Individually, Andrea Liechti from Switzerland is ahead with 216 points, and then followed by Raskin Benjamin with one package and 9 points, as well by Rutaj Maniar from India with one package and 9 points, Lucas Oliveira from Brazil with one package and 8 points, Yong Rui from Korea with one package and 8 points. Rafael Rodriguez has the same points, but he has 2 packages from Cuba, as we mentioned before. And then several other authors with one package and 7 points. And this is getting very interesting because there are many more than 10 authors already in this ranking, but we are only showing 10 here. And by country, so far, Switzerland is tied with Russia with 2 packages and 16 points. And it is followed by Brazil with 2 packages and 15 points, India 2 packages and 10 points, Germany 2 packages and 8 points. Oops. Then South Korea with 1 package and 8 points, Cuba with 2 packages and 8 points, Nigeria and France 1 package and 7 points, and then Netherlands with 1 package and 6 points. So this competition is getting very interesting. We have been having a great number of contributions. Actually, I would like even to apologize to all authors that have been submitting packages, because there are many packages in the queue, like almost 30 packages, and I have not having enough time to approve all of them. Unfortunately, I've been having a health problem in the stomach. I'm feeling better now, but I feel a bit tired and cannot work as fast as I hope, but I hope from now on things will work faster. Thank you. Well, with this, practically ended this podcast. I'd like to thank you, Arthur, for coming. And on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.